Let us seek the Lord once again. O Lord our God, we have been singing of the way to heaven. Lord, lead us in that way. Cause us to enter in through that straight gate. Bless thy word to every heart. Help both the preacher and the hearers to do what we cannot do in the flesh. Open our eyes to behold Christ. We ask for thy salvation then. Through our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, this morning I want to bring to you those familiar verses in verses 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. These words are words that are often preached by preachers throughout the history. From the time that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words, his disciples and those whom he called to preach his word have preached this many, many times, calling people to enter into the way of salvation. It is one of those texts that causes you to stop and to think about what you're doing. I hope from time to time you stop and think about what you are doing and the things that you are engaged in. Or to think about the way that you are doing things, the method that you are using. A person can get into a kind of a rut. A person can carry on without much thought, just doing things out of habit, doing things out of practice that they have done from their childhood. Or as an adult, you get into a certain form of doing things. There may be nothing wrong with it, but it's good to always stop and think, why am I doing this? Is this the best way? Is this the right way? This is what I have done, you might think, about certain thing in your life. This is what I've always done. This is the way that I've always done it. And as I look around, that's what my parents did. That's what my siblings do. That's what my neighbors do. Those people that I know all around me, this is what they are doing too. This is how ought things to be. That's the conclusion that many people come to. But coming today to this place of worship, you have had to think about certain things. Maybe there are some things you have done out of habit. They're good things. But you have had to, at some point, think about it. It is time to get up. It is time to get dressed, get washed. There are certain things you would do out of habit, but some thought process goes into it, I trust. What you wear, what your children wear, what shoes you put on, what you eat. Are you going to take the same sort of path to get here? Are you going to use the kind of vehicle that you have? You are confronted with all kinds of choices. You may not think about it anymore, but this is something that we do. To begin with, we have to think about these things, and then we get into a routine of doing it. We don't think about it anymore. Some of these choices are inconsequential. It really will not affect you in your life. Some things do. Some things are much more serious. It will change your life significantly. Certain kinds of habits, it starts fine, but then if you continue in that, it will change you. It will affect you, your health. And there are certain choices and questions that are quite serious. It is going to be the turning point in your life. Who are you going to marry? What's the relationship you are going to get into? It can change your life. What kind of career you will pursue, that can change your life. Our lives are filled with these kinds of decisions and choices that are set before you, and you have no option in certain things. You have to do it. Many things are trivial and insignificant. The things that you should be more careful of and more prayerful about and more concerned about are the things that will affect you significantly for the most of your life. But friends, there is one thing, and this is what we are here about. This is what the church is about. This is what this text is about. There is only one thing that will affect you eternally. And that is that when you die one day, when you die one day, you must appear before God. The scripture speaks about this, of giving account of ourselves to God. You will face the most holy God, your Creator, the one who knitted you in your mother's womb. You have to face Him, your Maker, and give an account. And that in eternity, you will not be able to undo things. You will not be able to go back. Many things you can go back, except getting married to your wife. You can't go back on that one. It's a covenant that you made. But your job, you might make a decision. Which one of you are doing what you started to do? It's very few people actually have continued on doing what they trained to do, what they studied for, and what they began doing. Things change in life. And the thing that you must be concerned about, all of those usual things that happen to us, is commit your way unto the Lord. Commit your way. Be much in prayer. Seek the Lord's guidance about those things. But with many things in life, you can go back. You can change things. You can start again. But with this matter of your soul, you cannot start again. When you appear before God, how will you appear before Him? As a forgiven person? As one who has received eternal life through Jesus Christ? Are you going to arrive safely in heaven? Or will you have to face Him as your judge to be condemned to eternal destruction? So the most critical of all pursuits is to seek to know Jesus Christ and through Him, forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins and receiving eternal life. That's the greatest and the most essential pursuits. In these verses before us, the Lord sets this call to each one of us. The Lord Jesus gives this, as it were, this illustration, a picture about two gates and two paths, two ways, two roads, two companies, two destinations. And after he comes to the closing words of his sermon that he preached to that large crowd, he looks out at this large group of people listening to his message that he delivered to them, and he challenges them and makes sure that they might make sure that they are converted, they are saved, they are truly following him. Friends, let me tell you this. He doesn't put a choice or option before them. It's not saying, well, decide this. It's actually a command that he gives. It's a command that he is giving. He says, enter ye. It is like someone opening the door and says, you enter it. Enter it. You might look at your child and say, go through. You're not giving that child options. Oh, if you want to, if you prefer to, you can do it, or you don't have to do it. It's not like that. It's a command that he's giving. And that is so important for you to remember. And this kind of a truth is seen throughout Scripture. God calling us to something. I have set before you, Moses said, life and death, blessing and cursing. And God says, you must have life. Choose life. Seek life. Who are you going to live for? Don't halt between two opinions. This is the command of God that the Lord is giving us. So here is a challenge. It's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to you. Which road am I on? Which path have I entered? Who am I pursuing after? I said something yesterday of the fact that in our meetings that only 0.026% chance there is if you're seeking to be at the top of athletics or sports for you to actually get to the top. But there's 100% chance that you will one day meet Christ on His judgment throne. 100% chance. So what is it that you are going to pursue most fervently with all your heart? That's why we come together, I trust, on the Lord's days, because you're seeking at the first day of the week to set your mind and heart on things that are going to affect you for the rest of your life. The first thing, and there are three things I want to set before you very quickly. First of all, we want to see the difference between these paths, these roads, these ways, the difference between them, the contrast. And then we want to see the two destinations, where they will end. And then we think about the entrance through the narrow gate. That's what we want to think about. But remember, through it all, the Lord is saying, come unto me. That's what He's saying. I am the door. Come unto me. He's calling us. This is the challenge. This is the command that He makes to every one of those people. None of them was disregarded. He didn't say, well, you are the ones who I have selected and you come to me or you enter in. No, he's saying to everybody. And that is why we have then the following the Christ example, we can say to everybody, enter ye. Enter ye at the straight gate. So let us think about that first thing, the difference between the roads, the ways. We need to mark out the distinction. There are only two ways. As the Lord says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because a strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So there are only two ways that the Lord sets before us. A broad way, or a broad road, or a narrow way, a narrow road. Many in our day want to tell us that there are many paths a person can travel through life, and we are on a journey. That's the phrase. We are all on a journey. We are all going different ways. We have our own journeys to make, and so on. But the Lord Jesus Christ limits the two options, limits it to two options, two paths, only two journeys that we are to make. Some may feel that this is a narrow view, and I guess they are correct. It is a narrow view. However, the Lord Jesus Christ is right. So we have to disregard Jesus Christ and say, actually, I don't agree with Jesus Christ. It's not the preacher. It's not the pastor that I'm disagreeing with. It's not the open-air preacher that I hear on the street. It's not this tract that I'm disagreeing with. It's actually Jesus Christ. He's the one that I reject. Is that us at all? If I say something by myself, you can certainly say that's what the pastor says and you can disregard it. But this is what Christ is saying. And so He limits this to two choices or two paths. And so regardless of what the world thinks, the Lord Jesus Christ is right. And then there are those people who claim neutrality. I'm not good enough, they say, for heaven. None of us are good enough for heaven. We need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. And we need His righteousness. None of us are good enough. But people say, well, I'm not good enough for heaven. But then I'm not bad enough for hell. There's a middle path I will go. I don't know what it is, but I will go through this middle path. Well, that is not what the Lord Jesus Christ sets before us. There is no middle way. There are only two directions, two ways. There is this broad way. Broad is the way. And as you can see, there's the word or the phrase is, the verb is put in italics. That means it is provided by the, supplied by the translators to complete the sentence for us in the English language. It makes very much sense in the Greek as it was written, but it's In the original, it is simply is broad the way. It's a broad way. That, what is that? Broad. That word broad, it means spacious. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that there is a spacious road. Don't you like spacious roads? You know, one thing I had difficulty with coming to United Kingdom was the narrow roads, narrow country roads. I find it very difficult. Now I don't think about it. I've got used to it. But I thought to myself, why is it so narrow? And it is a great difficulty. But then when you go on these big motorways, it's wonderful, isn't it? You can do you can't do what you want. But you can do many things there that you can't do on a narrow way. But this is what the Lord is saying. There is a way that is very broad. Broad is the way. And you can walk on that. Maybe you are on that. I used to be on it. All of us, at one point, we were on this broad way of life. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gives this idea, and he's seeking to convey this, that the broad way is wide open, plenty of room for all kinds of things, for all kinds of people. Anything goes on the broad way. Any kind of person goes on the broad way. And there are a number of things that marks it out. It is an indulgent road. It's an indulgent road. This road is both big and broad. It's easy to travel, and it comes natural to us. There's plenty of room there for you. It has few rules. It has few requirements. You can go as fast as you want. You can go as slow as you want. And there are few requirements, few restrictions. Here you can do anything you like. Spiritually speaking, you can carry all the baggages of your sin. You can live like the way you want to live. You can be in control of your own life and make all the rules. You can be the king of the roads. You can do whatever you like on this broad road of your life. When you walk the broad road, you can be your own person, as it were, not to answer to anyone. You can live life to, as people say, the fullest, with the passing pleasures and sins. Go where you want, do what you will, be what you desire to be. You see, it's an indulgent road. Anything goes and everyone is welcome. Sin is tolerated, isn't it, in our society? Tolerated. Truth is moderated on this road. Everyone is right. No one should be dogmatic about anything. And acceptance is elevated. This is the road that is most traveled. This is one thing that marks the broad way. It is an indulgent road. But also, it is an inclusive road. Do you notice how the Lord Jesus Christ describes this? Many there be which go in thereat. Many. The vast majority of people, they stay on this road and they love it. They don't think about anything else outside of it. They don't know anything else other than this. This is the road that is most traveled by many. This is the road for people who believe in anything or believe in nothing. They believe on the way of life is just as good as another. This is the life, and others can have their life in the way they want. They believe that one religion is just as equally valuable as another. They believe that all of these roads will lead to God, if there is a God. For those who believe that there is no God, come along and enjoy the journey. Eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Isn't this the call of in so many places? Come and eat and drink and be merry. That's all we have. This is the only life we have. And it's true. A man on the street, as we're preaching, says, you are wasting your time. You only have one life to live. And do you know what you're doing with it? And I said, exactly. Exactly. This is very true. It's for many. Many. There are atheists on it, agnostics on it, religious people on it, humanists on it, communists, Jews, Gentiles, all sorts of colors and shades. All kinds of religions are there. All sorts of shades of Christianity are there as well. People who are churchgoers. You know, someone said, oh, I go to church. Well, that doesn't make a person a Christian. It simply means that you go to church. That's what it means. You go to church. What does that make you? A person who goes to church. You pray. You sing hymns. What does that make you? A person who is praying and singing hymns. There's more to it, my friends, than simply having certain notions in your mind, certain knowledge in your head. You must be saved. You must be converted. You must be born again. That's what is needed. That transformation from within, which we cannot do it. It's a miracle that must take place in my heart and your heart. And who can do it? That heavenly physician, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world and paid a great price. This is something you've heard again and again. You boys and girls, you've heard this again and again. Why don't you go to Him? Call upon Him. Lord, I've heard these things, but I've been waiting, sitting in the waiting room, never going to see the physician. I don't want to go in to see him, but Lord, I now realize the disease is set in. I can't wait. Can you wait any longer, friends? Can you carry on this broad way? No, there is a turn off. The Lord is saying, here is a stop. Turn around. There is a turn off here. You can get off. You don't have to carry on. And so the Lord is saying, listen to this. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the many, the majority. Friends, the majority doesn't rule. The majority ruins. If you go the way of the crowd, and there are many on it, many on it. You have all kinds of companies and of people. But it doesn't end and arrive in heaven. One of the fascinating creatures that they've made computer games of are lemmings. Have you seen a lemming? It's a sort of a rodent. It's like a large rat. And they are interesting animals, but they have very strange habits, a strange way. Lemmings begin to migrate. They have migration, and this is what they are known for. They go on a long journey, as it were. They start traveling in a certain direction, headed toward the sea, and they go over mountains, they go over cliffs. Some of them, they just carry on after each other, and they are known or just falling down cliffs, and then the next one goes, they fall down the cliff, and so on. That's what they do. But then if they don't fall down a cliff, they carry on going, they get to the sea, and they start swimming. They've got certain destination to get to, and the sea is in front of them. And do you know what they do? They carry on swimming, and one after the other, it drowns. And they just follow each other, just like that. And they are known for this. And friends, do you know something? Most people in the world are just like these lemmings. They are doing everything they can to get to the good life and to their desired thing. And they battle for it. They build for it. They buy. They party. They drink. They try to get ahead of others. It's a very ruthless world that we are living in, and trying to get up the ladder of success in some ways. And boys and girls, you might be starting that. But think about your aims, where you're going. What are your desires? What are your motives? Is the Lord before you? Are you seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness? Or you're putting those kinds of things, achievements, in the world first? Remember that the Lord says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but that the end thereof are the ways of death. Are you on that broad way? Are you saying, well, that's what my friends, my colleagues are doing, my neighbors are doing, my family is doing, my parents are encouraging me in this, or whatever else we might say. Are you on the broad way? I was on that broad way. The Christians used to be on that broad way. They didn't know it. But the Lord awakened them. You're going on the wrong road. And then you had to turn around. So that's one thing. And then there is the narrow way. The straight or narrow is the gate, the Lord Jesus Christ says, and narrow is the way. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ continually emphasized the difficulty of following him. Do you recall what he said? He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The contrast between the broad and the narrow way is apparent. It's the difference between restrictions and no restrictions. It is the contrast between go as you please and go as he pleases, as God pleases. Do you remember what was recorded of Enoch? Enoch pleased God. He lived in a wicked time, but he pleased God. He sought the Lord, and he preached of the Lord's coming as well. Oh, but he might have been called narrow. Christians have always been named as narrow. This is their way. That's what we read this morning. They were called the way. This is the group of people who are going this way. So nobody else wants it, but they are the ones. They are not narrow ones. But you should never be afraid or ashamed of being labeled narrow. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Christ says it is a narrow way. It is a narrow gate. Who said that living for God and living as a Christian is going to be easy? Whoever said that is wrong. Here the term narrow, it is to do with difficulty too. We were reading or singing that, didn't we, earlier on, of that Isaac Watts's hymn. True, 'tis a straight and thorny road, and mortal spirits tire and faint, but they forget the mighty God who feeds the strength of every saint. So there is that broad road and the narrow way. But then, very quickly, there is the two destinations. All roads lead somewhere. And these two roads lead somewhere too. And you can be very sincere about your things, but if you're on the wrong road, you may be sincerely wanting to get to heaven, but if you are on that broad road, it is not going to arrive in heaven. You will not get there. So sincerity and earnestness is not going to get you anywhere. You must be on the right one. It is like being on the right bus or coach. It is like being on the right aeroplane. I had a friend who fell asleep in the airport, and he was in the States. He was going to go to some destination. He fell asleep. He missed his plane, but he didn't realize he missed his plane. And there was the next queue had come on. And then suddenly he woke up and he saw this crowd going through. So he just followed along. But he arrived in the wrong place, wrong destination. Don't fall asleep. The Lord is saying here, enter ye at the right one, at the narrow one. Enter ye at the straight gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. The Lord is saying this is the one destination that you will go. The destination ends in destruction. It's a place called, in other places, called hell. And it's not something very palatable for us to talk about, but this is something that the Lord Jesus Christ was one who preached more than all the rest of the prophets of this matter. He said to the Pharisees, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? He said of a place that is full of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. My friends, we can't just take parts out of the Bible and say, I like the parts about heaven, but then utterly reject the references to hell. So think about that. There was a man who was an agnostic that I read of who made an appointment to see a pastor. And he said to the pastor, I have a deep philosophical question. What is it? The pastor said. He said, where is hell? And he thought he was going to get a long theological answer and to get into a big discussion. And the pastor said this, at the end of a Christless life, that's where it is. So at the end of that Christless life, and the Lord is saying, at the end of that broad road, it's going to lead to destruction. Friends, if death comes to you now, where would you be? Where will you end up? Will you lift your eyes towards God in joy and thanksgiving, or lift your eyes in hell being in torment? Then there is heaven. God calls us here to heaven, a path of to heaven. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. In heaven there is life, the Lord is saying. In heaven, think of it. It's all the opposites and even more than that you see of hell. No more judgment, no condemnation. It's a place of joy. Hell is a place of separation. Heaven is a place of reunion and fellowship and friendship. Everything that hell isn't, heaven is. Do you ever think about the no mores of the Bible? There will be no more pain in heaven. No more separation. No more seas to separate us. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more evil. No more sin. Do you know what heaven is going to be like? It's going to mean that the presence of all that is good and the absence of all that is evil. It's going to be all that the loving heart of God can conceive and all that the omnipotent hand of God can create. So, what if you walk out of a step with this world? So what if we are Christians and we are misunderstood? So what if we did without some things that the rest of the world indulged themselves in? Will it not be worth it to see Jesus Christ, to have that peace with God and eternal life, to be forever with the Lord? And then the Lord speaks about the entrance through the narrow gate. Enter ye in the straight or narrow gate. A gate, just like a door, is meant to be opened. It meant to be entered. And for that to happen, you must open it and then enter it. This must be your resolve. I will, by God's grace, go in. I call upon Him. Lord, have mercy upon me. I resolve. I must get in. Many of the decisions that we make in this life are monotonous. But this one resolve, it is momentous for your life. It will mean everything. To trust in Christ. To recognize yourself of who you are. A man who is condemned under sin. But God calls us and says, come, enter in, turn around, get off. The wide gate must be rejected, even though it is very wide. You can take all kinds of things and your families and all those things with you in it. But then the narrow gate, it must be entered into. The straight gate, that word narrow or straight, it has the meaning of groaning, because there is something in the way. It is to do with having obstacles in the way. We read about the thorny road. There are restrictions, constrictions. it gives us the wording there. It is we use it in English. It is the word that is used for a stenography. What is a stenography? It's basically making things compact. Abbreviate things. Compress things. We say shorthand. We don't use it these days. But it was shorthand. That's what stenography is. And because the gate is so narrow, you can only get through it empty-handed. It's just yourself. You can go in. You're as it were, spiritually speaking, naked. Only your soul gets through that gate. Why is that? Because the gate is Christ. You see, the question is not, what is the way to heaven? The question is, who is the way to heaven? Christ. That's what we preach again and again. That's why we keep saying it is Christ. It's not about what you do. It's about getting to Christ. It's knowing Him. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, shall be saved. My friends, that's a wonderful encouragement. Shall be saved. Not may be saved. Shall be saved. And the Lord Jesus doesn't need anything you can bring to Him. You can't bring your many morals or materialism or your knowledge in order to be put on the highway to heaven. You must come yourself. Anyone can come this morning, a child here, an adult there, a person who is burdened with all kinds of things can come. You cannot earn it. You cannot pay for it. But on the other side, when you go in, it costs you everything, your whole life. Do you know why so few enter this narrow gate? It's not because the gate is too small. It is the reason is because people are too big. That's why. We are too big. And so the Lord says, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. When you come to God as a sinner, He makes you into a saint. But if you seek and say, well, I am a good enough person, then He will reject you as a sinner. My friends, our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and by His coming, there is this crossroad that is set before us. He came into this world, and He paid the price upon the cross for sinners. God punished Him. The Father punished His Son, and He cried out to God, out of all of that. And He said, Father, forgive them. These who do not know what they are doing. Friends, make no mistake. You are standing before this. And the Lord says, enter ye through this narrow gate, this straight gate. Don't go on the broad way. The end. Think about the end. Think about what will happen. Don't be a lemming following the crowd, following the next person has gone before you. Think about this then. At the beginning I said, what do you do? You got up this morning. Certain things you did. Certain things you did out of habit. Good things. But think, why am I doing this? What's the end of it? What will this achieve at the end? And the Lord is saying, the end of the right road is life in heaven. End of this straight gate, this narrow gate, which may not be so easy in this world, will end in eternal life. But the end of the broad road leads to eternal destruction. So here is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is very realistic. It's not very palatable for us. But the Lord says, this is the good news. He is not setting for us just one way and say, that's it. You're on it. There is no get off. You can't turn around. But the Lord is saying, praise God. The Lord is saying, there is another way, a better way, a way of life. May God then speak to every one of us. Amen.